Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, chapter number 18, text number 9. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Svastiyastu Vishvasya Kala Prasidatam Jayantu Bhutani Shivam Mitodaya Manascha Bhadram Bhajatadhokshaje Aveshyatam Namaterapyahaituki. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. Purport. The following verse describes a Vaishnava. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhyubhyaevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Just like a desire tree, a Vaishnava can fulfill all the desires of anyone who takes shelter of his lotus feet. Prahlad Maharaj is a typical Vaishnava. He prays not for himself, but for all living entities, the gentle, the envious, and the mischievous. He always thought of the welfare of mischievous persons like his father, Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad Maharaj did not ask for anything for himself. Rather, he prayed for the Lord to excuse his demoniac father. This is the attitude of a Vaishnava who always thinks of the welfare of the entire universe. Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Dharma are meant for persons who are completely free of envy. Parama nirmatsaranam. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays in this verse, Kala Prasidatam. May all envious persons be pacified. The material world is full of envious persons. But if one frees himself of envy, he becomes liberal in his social dealings and can think of others' welfare. Anyone who takes up Krishna consciousness and engages himself completely in the service of the Lord cleanses his mind of all envy. Manas cha bhadram bhajatam madhokshajay. Therefore, we should pray to Lord Nrisimhadev to sit in our hearts. We should pray, Bahir Nrisimho Hridaye Nrisimha. Let Lord Nrisimhadev sit in the core of my heart, killing all my bad propensities. Let my mind become clean, so that I may peacefully worship the Lord and bring peace to the entire world. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given us a very fine purport in this regard. When everyone offers a prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one always requests some benediction from Him. Even pure nishkam devotees pray for some benediction, as instructed by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in His Sakshastaka, Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitang Mang Vishame Bhavambudho Kripaya Tava Pada Pankaja Stiti Dhuli Sadrisham Vichintaya. O son of Maharaj Nanda Krishna, I am your eternal servitor. Yet somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from the ocean of birth and death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. In another prayer, Lord Chaitanya says, Mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatag bhaktir ahaitaki tvai. Life after life, kindly let me have unalloyed love and devotion at your lordship's lotus feet. When Prahlad Maharaj chants Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya, he prays for a benediction from the Lord. But because he is also an exalted Vaishnava, he wants nothing for his personal sense gratification. The first desire expressed in his prayer is Svastyastu Vishvashya, let there be good fortune throughout the entire universe. Prahlad Maharaj thus requested the Lord to be merciful to everyone, including his father, a most envious person. According to Chanakya Pandit, there are two kinds of envious living entities. One is a snake, and the other is a man, like Hiranyakashipu, who is by nature envious of everyone, even of his father or son. Hiranyakashipu was envious of his little son, Prahlad. But Prahlad Maharaj asked a benediction for the benefit of his father. Hiranyakashipu was very envious of devotees, but Prahlad wished that his father and other demons like him would give up their envious nature by the grace of the Lord and stop harassing the devotees. Kala prasidatam. The difficulty is that the kala, envious living entity, is rarely pacified. One kind of kala, the snake, can be pacified simply by mantras or by the action of a particular herb. Mantra shodi vasha sarpa kala kena nirvaryate. An envious person, however, cannot be pacified by any means. And therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays that all envious persons may undergo a change of heart and think of the welfare of others. If the Krishna consciousness movement spreads all over the world, and if by the grace of Krishna everyone accepts it, the thinking of envious persons will change. Everyone will think of the welfare of others. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, Shivam mito diya. In material activities, everyone is envious of others. But in Krishna consciousness, no one is envious of anyone else. Everyone thinks of the welfare of others. And therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays that everyone's mind may become gentle by being fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna, bhajatad adhokshajay. As indicated elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam, savaimana krishna padaravindayo, and is advised by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 18:65, manmana bhava madbhakta. One should constantly think of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Then one's mind will certainly be cleansed. Cheto darpana marjanam. Materialists always think of sense gratification. But Prahlad Maharaj prays that the Lord's mercy will change their minds and they will stop thinking of sense gratification. If they think of Krishna always, everything will be all right. Some people argue that if everyone thought of Krishna in that way, the whole universe would be vacated because everyone would go back home, back to Godhead. However, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that this is impossible because the living entities are innumerable. If one set of living entities is actually delivered by the Krishna consciousness movement, another set will fill the entire universe. Oh.
Soma Gyanatim Anandasha Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah.
So this is the mood of a Vaishnava. In fact, the Vaishnava is begging Krishna that he can bring peace to the entire world. So what does peace mean? You know, does it mean the UN? United Nations? What does peace mean? Peace means Krishna consciousness. You see? What is the proof? Because so many people say, you know, we can have peace, we don't need Krishna consciousness. We'll have peace without Krishna consciousness. You see? If we go to the president and we say that if you want peace, you want to bring peace to the world, then you have to bring them Krishna consciousness. He says, no, we will have peace but without Krishna consciousness. What does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? Bhaktaram chakatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantam ritchati. He says that shantam, one who actually wants that peace, you see, they must know Krishna as the supreme proprietor, the supreme owner, and the supreme friend, the supreme enjoyer and the supreme friend. One who doesn't know Krishna as the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor, and the supreme friend cannot actually have peace. So just as we are speaking now, war has broken out between Israel and Lebanon. And people are being killed on both sides. And it's a horrible, nightmarish condition. Bombs and missiles and bullets and grenades. And it's a very hellish thing that's broken out. So, and that's just one example. And also the Gaza, and I mean, what happened, just the 7 bombings in Bombay, and now the word has come out that the terrorists, have their number one target in Bangalore is the ISKCON temple. They want to go in and blow that up. That word has come out. So we are living in a time when all hell is breaking loose on this planet. We are thinking we're very safe and secure here in the U.S., but actually 9/11 has shown that we're not. And if the experts are telling us, it's simply a matter of time before the terrorists get nuclear bombs in their hands. And they do. We haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen anything yet on this planet. Wait till the terrorists get nuclear capability. So the point is, something has to be done to counteract the demoniac atmosphere on this planet. We can't just think about making money and, you know, having our own comfortable little nest here. That sort of thinking, while we ignore what's happening around us, it's very selfish. It's called I, me, and mine. They say, I, me, and mine will make you feel real fine. But actually it doesn't. As long as we just think of ourselves and our own sense gratification, I guarantee you, you cannot really be satisfied. If we want actual satisfaction, we have to think of the welfare of everyone. That's a fact. Because otherwise we're tinged by selfishness. To become actual happy, we have to become the selfless well-wishers of all living entities throughout the entire universe. And this prayer is the perfect example. This prayer of the Vaishnava, you see, Prahlad Maharaj, this is the perfect prayer. He is one of our great Mahajans. He is great personality. Listed in the 12 Mahajan list. Swayambhur, Nadada Shambhu, Kumara Kopila Manu, Talado Janako Bhishmo, Balir Vayasakir Vayam. So he is listed. Talado Janako Bhishmo. Prahlad Maharaj is listed. He is the what is that, the seventh in the list. So this is a very, very important prayer. It is showing us what our mood should be. We should not simply think of ourselves. We must think of the welfare of others. And how can we actually do good for others? By awakening the dormant Krishna consciousness in our own hearts, purifying our own hearts, cleaning the contamination out of our own hearts. As with the microcosm, so with the macrocosm. If we purify our own hearts, then we're actually having a purifying influence on the entire planet. Especially when we gather together and we chant the Hare Krishna mantra. That has great power for purifying the whole planet. We see the sages of Naimisharanya. They knew Kali Yuga is coming. So they wanted to hold off the Kali Yuga. So how did they do that? They go everywhere and wherever the personality of Kali was in, having his influence, running here and there trying to stop him in that way. No, they simply assembled in a holy place to perform a 1,000-year sacrifice. So but the potency of that yajna, the Kali Yuga, which was infiltrating the entire planet, can be repelled. So the point is that by engaging in the Sankirtan Yajna, we can actually push back the age of Kali. The more we chant Hare Krishna, the more we dive into the Kirtan, the Sankirtan, with feeling, with love, with enthusiasm, this not only purifies our hearts and makes us feel extremely happy and blissful, but this has a wonderful influence on the entire atmosphere of this planet. So we don't have to feel, you know, when we hear the news about the bombings and the attacks and the plots, we don't have to just feel it's hopeless and we just have to ignore it, like, you know, the ostrich putting his head in the sand as the predator is coming to eat him alive. We don't have to bury our heads in sense gratification, thinking it's useless, what can I do? No. We have full facility given to us by Srila Prabhupada, by Lord Chaitanya, and by Prahlad Maharaj, that we can actually do something to bring Krishna consciousness throughout the entire world. By ourselves practicing it, and whatever opportunities we have to share with others, we should take those opportunities. Just like somehow I got the opportunity through my e-course, so we have taken the opportunity to spread Krishna consciousness. So we practice ourselves, and whatever opportunity comes to us by the grace of Krishna to share Krishna consciousness with others, then we should do that. We should take full advantage of every opportunity we have to spread this movement, because that will bring about the desired peace and happiness in the world. The devotee is praying, Krishna, please bless me that I can make the world Krishna conscious. Please bless me, I can make the entire world Krishna conscious. That's the prayer of the devotee. And he knows that to do that, I have to make my heart completely free of all contamination. I have to become completely, totally washed off of all selfishness, of all lust, of all greed, of all anger, of all laziness, of all envy, of all fault-finding mentality, in order to be potent for spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. I have to make myself completely clean. You see? So the devotee prays, Bhagirna Singha Hridayena Singha. My dear Lord, please make me totally clean so that I can make the whole world Krishna conscious. That is his prayer. He's not content simply to sit in his temple or in his house and eat some chapatis and get chubby. He's thinking, I must make the whole world Krishna conscious. Therefore, I must become purely Krishna conscious so that I have some potency to spread Krishna consciousness. So this is a very, very auspicious prayer. May there be good fortune throughout the universe. Does that mean that everybody gets rich? Everybody wins the lottery? What does it mean, good fortune? No, it means that everyone becomes Krishna conscious. That's what it means. And may all envious persons be pacified. Again, that means Krishna consciousness. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. Again, bhakti yoga means Krishna consciousness. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Again, devotional service means Krishna consciousness. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna. What is that service to the Supreme Transcendence? Krishna consciousness. So this verse is oozing with Krishna consciousness. And the final thing, and always remain absorbed in thoughts of Him. What is that? Krishna consciousness. This verse is emanating Krishna consciousness. This is the sound vibration uttered from the mouth of the lotus mouth of Prahlad Maharaj. And this is just absolutely oozing with powerful Krishna consciousness. And it is actually shooting out throughout the entire universe from this verse. Is this verse no longer being vibrated? It was only vibrated once by Prahlad. Actually, Prahlad, the potency of when a pure devotee speaks, just like you can, there's one well on the Parikrama path in Vrindavan. And sometimes the devotees, they like to go chant the name of Krishna when they come by the well as they're finishing up their Parikrama. They go, Radhe Sham, and it comes back, Radhe Sham, it echoes back. So, when the pure devotee speaks words like this, auspicious words, those words reverberate. The echo of those words continues to vibrate throughout the universe. It's not just it was said once and finished. These powerful words of Prahlad Maharaj are still echoing throughout the universe. The effect of these words of Prahlad Maharaj is still going on. Let's see. Every time somebody distributes Srimad Bhagavatam, these words are becoming more amplified. So, every time we give a class on this verse, every time everything we do to push forward Krishna consciousness makes these words more powerfully manifest in this world. So the point is that we should think like this: Krishna, please make me a pure devotee, and please bless me, I can make the whole world Krishna conscious. This is the mood of a devotee, so we're supposed to be in this mood. That my life is totally dedicated to uplifting the global consciousness on this planet by purifying my own heart, getting completely free of all the crud, and doing everything I can to preach and distribute books to everyone. You see? Each and every one of us is meant to be a spiritual revolutionary, especially people born in that country called India. That's the injunction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bharat Bhumite Haila Manushya Janma Jara Janma Sartaka Kari Para Upakara.
Kara Para
Kari
Kara Para.
Yes, that let all those persons who have taken their birth in the holy land, Bharat Bhumi, the holy land of India, make their lives successful by becoming fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and let them then do the highest para upakara, the highest welfare work for all other living entities by spreading this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Now, many Indian people may say, but wait a minute. Are you telling me that I have to stop everything and just preach? I mean, you don't know how hard I work to get this green card, to get my citizenship, my H-1. Are you telling me I'm supposed to throw that all away? No, we're not saying that. What you have achieved That is a wonderful asset. So now use that for Krishna. Yad karoshi yadasnasi yajdahosi dadasi yad. Whatever assets you have gotten by dint of your previous activities, your good karma, you don't have to throw that away. Use that for Krishna. That's all. Whatever position, whatever prestige, whatever opulence you may have achieved, that's wonderful. Now you have facility to serve Krishna even more. Whatever facility you've gotten, that is very nice. You utilize that in the service of Krishna to purify your own heart and to make the whole world Krishna conscious. This is our humble request to you, our students and disciples. We are asking you kindly, make your hearts completely pure. Strive for pure devotional service and strive throughout your entire life for making this entire planet Krishna conscious. So the hellish nightmare that we see unfolding now on this planet, terrorism and war and cow slaughter and abortion, that these horrible, hellish things that are becoming more and more prominent can become curbed down in the happy days of Ram Raja, when the world society is truly God-centered. Those days can come back. That is our request to you. Kindly do this. This is a direct instruction to each and every one of you who are sitting here in this class today, and those who are hearing this on the internet, those who may read the transcript of this lecture. It's a direct instruction to each and every one of you. Make your lives perfect, become pure devotees, and dedicate your entire life for making the whole world Krishna conscious. So are there any questions?
It is said that greed, anger can be used in Krishna service.
Yes.
Can envy be used in Krishna service?
One time Prabhupada said envy could not be used. I remember he was saying like that. But there are ways that even envy can be used for Krishna. Just like one may think. Just like in our Austin, they have a big, incredible state capitol building. They actually build a railroad track from the granite quarry straight to the construction site. It's an incredible thing. So I think why they should have, simply for the mundane task of administering the state government, such a wonderful building. We must have a better building for Krishna. So one can think, Austin should have a building far more impressive than the state capitol building. So everywhere, just like the U.S. Capitol or the capital of, just like in Atlanta, they have a golden dome on the state capitol, isn't it? You've seen? Driving in Atlanta, you don't look where you don't notice what's happening around you. You've been to Atlanta, you've never seen the golden dome on the state capitol building? How many times you've been to Atlanta? Let me ask you this. Are you conscious? Or are you unconscious? If you're conscious and you see all this state capital is gold, you've seen?
Yes.
Yeah. There's a golden. So why? They should have golden dome for some mundane administration. We should have golden dome temples. Is it? So in this way, one can be envious in Krishna's service also.
But now this another question arises mm-hmm. from this. So something is mundane, one may not be conscious about it. They are thinking about Krishna. So is it necessary to be concentrating on something material?
A devotee of the Lord wants to see that everything is used in Krishna's service.
That means.
So he's not oblivious to what's his surroundings in this world. He's not oblivious. The preacher, a Bhajanandi, what you're saying is true of a Bhajanandi, but not the Goshtiyanandi.
But still, to think about those mundane things, is it good for one's Krishna consciousness?
If one is only thinking of one's own Krishna consciousness, that is called Bhajananandi. But Goshti Anandi, he is thinking, how can I revolutionize this planet? You see? So he's seeing how the society is going on. And he's thinking, how can I infiltrate this society? It's not that he totally neglects it, he blocks his vision of society. He sees what is going on in the world society. He's conscious of it. And he's thinking, how can I infiltrate it with Krishna consciousness? How can I make a revolution on this planet?
But isn't it that one is supposed to save oneself more instead of thinking of being envious of seeing the material building which is not in one's jurisdiction? Think about it, just keep meditating on that.
Yes, one is supposed to think, one's first business is to save oneself, that is of them. But that doesn't mean you neglect saving the world.
So I have been to Atlanta many times, I have not noticed, so it is important for me to notice the...
It's an example only. No, I would not say that, I would not say that because you have not noticed the Golden Dome state capital, therefore you will not go back to Godhead. No, I'm not saying that.
I'm just thinking also about Disney World, because I've heard about Disney World, but I have not seen it, so should I think about that Disney World is such a big thing that I must think about, I should have a Disney World for Krishna or something like that?
One doesn't have to go to Disney World and get dizzy.
So how can I...
Just by hearing about Disney World, one can think, well, we should have a Krishna conscious theme park. Let them all come, and instead of Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck, they can have Prahlad Maharaj and Harani, you know. It would be very nice to have a theme park, a big, huge theme, Krishna conscious theme park, there's no doubt. So even without seeing, just by hearing, one can understand these things.
Also, another thing also is that important for us to go and give our time for mundane news so we are aware of all these things?
Yes, actually, it is not necessary to read the mundane news. It's not required. If you simply read what is Srimad Bhagavatam, then you have sufficient knowledge how to become Krishna conscious and how to spread Krishna consciousness.
That means it's not important to know what is around you.
It's not that you have to. I'm saying when you're walking down the street, you should see what's going on around you. So when you cross the street, you have to see what's going on around you so you don't get hit by a car. When you're driving on the freeway and you want to change lanes, it's good to know what's going on around you. Otherwise,
yes,
you may get pulled in front of someone and get your car hit.
That is important. That because you are dealing with those things.
Yes.
That is important.
It's important
but
to see what's going on.
If you are not dealing with something, then do we have to necessarily check for those things?
A person who truly wants to carry out this instruction of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world, mm-hmm, will naturally be conscious of what's going on in the world. Not just 3 feet away, but 20 feet away, 20 miles away, 200 miles away. He will be conscious of what's going on because he knows that He knows that it's required to do something about the situation. So he sometimes, it's stated in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, there's no prohibition against the devotee hearing the ordinary news. That's stated directly in the Prabhupada books. It's not a forbidden thing. The devotee cannot, you know,
it's not forbidden.
Hear what's going on in the world.
It's
wrong.
It's not forbidden, but is it important and necessary to go around looking for that news?
One doesn't have to subscribe to the newspaper. No, it's not necessary.
So So that's the point. There's nothing wrong to hear about it. There are bad news always, you can hear it. It's not necessary then.
I'll give you an example. Prabhupada, in writing the first canto, he mentions a war has broken out between China and India. Now, how did Prabhupada know? Was he there on the front line? How did he know? Did he read the newspaper? Did he hear about it on the radio? Somehow or another, Prabhupada knew that at the time he was in Vrindavan, he found out that there was, you know, how did he find out? Was it wrong for him if he saw a newspaper article and read it and wrote it and put that into the purport?
I don't know if he went to newspaper, but I know that the bad news always in the air. So I don't know if one needs necessarily to go to that thing. Because bad news is always out.
Prabhupada was on the airplane in flying in the U.S. and he saw one Newsweek magazine, Crime and How to Stop It. So, whether he looked at the cover only or he opened it up and looked at a couple of pages, I don't know. But he did see the article, title. And he based a whole, he used that as a, he saw there was an interest in the U.S. of how to stop crime. He was aware that that was a, you know, that was a thing in Newsweek magazine. So he then utilized that as a whole strategy for a whole series of preaching that he did in Chicago after them. So in this way, one can actually utilize what's going on in the current events in Krishna's service. Prabhupada looked at the magazine.
That's right.
Yes.
But that was the circumstances that he looked at the magazine, but I'm just saying that should one...
You don't need to subscribe. No, it's not necessary to subscribe. Our main focus is to read the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, Easy Journey to Other Planets. That is the main focus. That's where we absorb our consciousness, because unless we actually purify ourselves by full absorption in Krishna Katha, we won't have any potency to do anything about the world situation. We'll just be another worldly person. Well, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. So we absorb our consciousness. We get sit and watch CNN all day long on the television, thinking that we're going to be able to do something about the world by sitting and watching all the bad news, and we're an illusion. We want to do something to actually turn around the world situation. We can't be just another mundane person absorbed in mundane katha. If we want to do something to actually turn the situation around, we have to be absorbed in Krishna katha. Your point is very good. Your point is very good point you're making. So it's not that it was wrong that you all have not seen the golden state capitol building, actually. It's not wrong that you didn't see it. Although if one sees it and utilizes it in Krishna, as an example, as Prabhupada himself noted, he noted the existence of the Empire State Building in New York, and he used it in his preaching.
If you happen to see it, it's fine.
You see? So, if we actually want to be potent for pushing forward Krishna consciousness and rectifying, you know, turning the bad news that's happening every day out there into good news, then we have to absorb ourselves in Krishna Katha, hearing and chanting and remembering the glories of God. By doing that, then we will actually become purified, and we will have the potency to actually do something to turn the bad news into good news. But to simply absorb ourselves in the bad news, that's not going to help. That will keep us in a polluted state of consciousness, where instead of thinking of Krishna, we're thinking about you know, the bombs going off in Bombay. We do have to become fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. That's a thing. That full absorption in Krishna consciousness is the powerful influence which will transform the atmosphere on this planet from lust, greed, and anger to Krishna consciousness. As described in this verse, may there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. Before, by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. So, are there any more questions? Yes?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, once to save oneself and then the revelation of the planet. So to what extent should one save oneself and start doing the preaching work? To what extent?
Yes, you should. Your first focus should be to chant 16 rounds and follow the four principles. Become initiated, and that's the first step. And once you've done that, then the spiritual master will engage you in preaching activities also, either directly or by assisting the preaching work. First thing is chant 16 rounds, follow the principles, become initiated, and then under the guidance of the spiritual master, you can, of course, even before that, you can also preach. If one is, that's very good. Many persons who are not initiated, they go out and they work book tables. You know, they do all kinds of things because they're enlivened by this movement and they want to help it go forward. So that's a very good qualification. But if they simply do that and they don't chant 16 rounds and they're not really properly situated, they won't have the full potency for doing the best for the people in general. So everyone should become very serious to become fixed in their sadhana. 16 rounds, four principles, and also preach at the same time. Of course, if someone comes who's not doing and they want to preach, yes, come. We engage everyone. By doing the preaching work, that will purify them and help them come to the point of wanting to chant 16 rounds also. So you can work it from both ends. Even a newcomer, he may be very enthused. Yes, you're having a Ratha Yatra festival. Oh, I'd like to put up some posters for you. We engage so many people in our preaching activities, even though they may be breaking all the principles. Yeah, I'll help you. I'll help you spread this movement. Jayananda was expert in doing that. He'd have, you know, some drunkard would come by, he'd engage him in the service of Lord Chaitanya's movement. So both, actually we should work it from both ends. On the one hand, you'd be very keen to save yourself, on the other hand, you're very enthusiastic to save others. You should do both things simultaneously. They enhance each other. They're mutually enhancing each other. Prabhupada said, if someone, he said, the college students, you engage them in doing what they like to do for Krishna. Not that you have to give them, well, you know, unless you're chanting 16 rounds, you know, we won't let you do anything. No. You probably engage them doing what they like to do for Krishna and let the rules and regulations come later, said Prabhupada. So let everyone be somehow connected in a way that enthuses and enlivens them. It could be bhajan type things, it could be goshti and andi type things. It doesn't matter. Somehow get people connected with Krishna consciousness. Whether it's learning, you know, how to cook prasadam and offer to Krishna in their home, you know, whatever it is, whether it's helping with the book table, you know, whatever enthuses and enlivens someone, find a way to somehow connect them with Krishna, starting with yourself.
So nowadays also, there's another question now, relating to this. Nowadays, the people are engaged in illicit activities also.
The people.
Yeah, the people in general.
Those
who are.
Yes, yes, everyone.
Not everybody, those who are. That's
everyone's engaged. Kala Yoga means they're all engaged in the same thing.
Illicit activities, and they also want to. So as you said, we should engage them. So they want their illicit acts also to be engaged that way. So how can you engage them?
Yes. This like when we were doing prasadam distribution at the University of Florida campus, the students certainly weren't following all the regulated principles, but yet they were very enlivened by prasadam, understanding that it has the power to purify and uplift the consciousness and bring spiritual enlightenment. So we would give them prasadam that they could distribute to their friends also, you see. So here we are engaging a person who is not chanting. He's not following the regular principles. We're engaging him in distributing prasadam to his friend. You see? As an example.
No, they want to engage their acts in Krishna service.
Yes, they wanted to assist in the Sankirtan Yajna by distributing prasadam.
They want to engage their acts. Just like
Yatkaroshi. Yat Karoshi.
I will make it clear, like homosexuals.
Okay. Oh, no. Okay. This is prasadam distribution, it wasn't homosexual.
No, you said people be engaged as they wanted, and students also.
Even if the student was a homosexual, he could still distribute prasadam to his friends.
They come and retaliate. They want to engage those things also, and they should be in Krishna
consciousness. No. Homosexuals cannot be used in Krishna's service.
Okay.
No. Now, we're talking about the bona fide activities, Nava Vidha Bhakti. Where in Nava Vidha Bhakti do we see that homosexuals is one of the 9 processes of bhakti?
That was my question.
It is not listed.
That was my question.
Well, maybe I missed it. But so far, I've been reading these books for 30 years, and I have not yet seen that homosexuality is one of the 9 processes of bhakti. Maybe it's the 10th one. I don't know. Maybe that's what they want to. That's the idea they want to introduce. But it doesn't work that way. The homosexuality, actually, we're even sex life, even legitimate sex life, of producing Krishna conscious children, is only done at a certain stage of life. It's not that one goes on. That's why we have vanaprasthas. You see, that means they've given up sex life now. They're no longer producing. Grihasthas, they are producing children and making money to maintain their families and to maintain those who are renounced. But everyone is meant to eventually become vanaprastha at least. But now we are retired. We are no more having children. We want to become more absorbed in bhakti now. In a later stage, every householder should become vanaprastha. So even that sex, which is Krishna describes as being not different from him from his very self, even that sex life is given up. So what it speaks of other types of sex? We want to Vedic culture. We give up is to give up sex completely. Actually, that is our culture. Why? Because sex life brings one into bodily consciousness. I am this body. If I'm not the body, then what is the need for sex? The body doesn't need sex to survive. We need eating and sleeping, but we don't need sex to survive. One can be celibate and be very healthy and energized. But if one has a propensity for sex life, wants to have a family, and wants to have children, then Krishna blesses that. The spiritual master blesses that. Yes, this is very auspicious. Now you can do this as a service to Guru and Krishna. You can raise children in Krishna consciousness. This is a beautiful and wonderful thing. We need ideal householders all over the world who can show the example of how to utilize family life in the service of God. You see? But at the same time, that's only at a certain stage of life we want to engage in sexual activities. Finally, we want to give that up and become celibate, and simply absorbed in bhakti, with no other bodily considerations beyond the bare minimum of eating and sleeping. So the idea of having sex is for pleasure, as the homosexuals are doing, is completely against the Vedic culture. So there's no question of engaging homosex in the service of God. It is simply a doggish, less than doggish activity. Questions more? Yes.
As we know, because we are influenced by the nature, because we are inside the body, and body is part of the nature, and it's part of the material creation, and since we have the body, we have the propensities of, you know, having...
No, the body has the propensity.
Yeah, the body has...
Not you.
Right.
It's actually not your propensity. It's the bodily. The body has propensity, but not you.
Right.
You, the spirit soul, are actually free of all material propensity. You don't... The spirit, you, the actual Atma, those are not your propensities, actually. They're not yours. You don't have the propensity. The body has it. But since you're still very strongly rooted in bodily consciousness, which is an illusion, and it's difficult to get out of the illusion immediately, then you can utilize that illusion in Krishna's service, thinking that I have this desire. Actually, you don't. It's the false ego that has the desire. But that can be used for Krishna. The spirit soul, and it actually doesn't have any desire except to serve God. It's the only desire the spirit soul has. But by misidentification with matter, we're thinking, I want this, I need that, I want this. This is illusion. Actually, we don't need these things. We don't even want them. We just think we want them. We just think that we need them. Because we're under the influence of the illusory energy.
But Gurudev, I mean, if I have an axe in if I have a cut, I get pain, right? Even though I'm not the body, but...
Because you identify with the body, therefore you suffer pain. That's one. But one who has fully realized I'm not the body, completely realized it, it's just like an alarm going off on your car. You know, the red light goes off in your car. Did it hurt you? You know something needs to be done. The pain is simply a warning indicator, indicating, you know, telling you something has to be done. It's an emergency. But a fully self-realized soul, actually, he doesn't identify with that pain. He just thinks, oh, there's a warning light going off on the right arm right now. A warning indicator is going off in the right arm right now. Something has to be done because this body belongs to Krishna. It has to be kept healthy, in a good, healthy state to serve the Lord. He doesn't think I have been cut. He thinks the body has been cut. He doesn't feel that I'm cut. He feels, oh, the body is cut. Something has to be done. That doesn't mean he's neglectful. It means he is enlightened. He uses it for the Lord's pleasure. So, we'll stop here now. Thank you all very much for your kind attention. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.